In setting up this lesson and looking at the context of which is being presented to us in this particular section of Scripture, Paul, throughout Ephesians, has mentioned the walk, sometimes in the positive, sometimes in the negative, not talking about putting one foot in front of the other so as to motivate or to propel oneself, but rather that which is spiritual, a conduct of life. And he mentions this walk seven times, eight times if you use the past tense walk in the second chapter. And in so doing, he teaches us the conduct of life. And I want you to just note some things. As he begins there in verse 17, and he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord." When he says that, that is by the authority of Jesus Christ. It follows along with what Oscar read for us this morning from 1 Corinthians 11 chapter and verse 23. "For what I have received from the Lord I deliver unto you." And in essence, Paul is saying exactly the same thing here. And he says that you henceforth walk not. And here is one of these negative walks. "Do not walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They are past feelings. They have entered into lewdness or lasciviousness or licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And then he makes this statement in verse 20. "You have not so learned Christ." And then he reminds them of what it was that they had learned in connection with Christ. Verse 21, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, put off concerning the former way of life the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." And he takes their mind and their attention back to becoming a child of God when they were to crucify that old man of sin and put it to death. And he's saying, do not resurrect that old way of life again, but put off the former life, that old man. And he says, in contrast to that, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on, verse 24, the new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Be that to which you attained through obedience to Christ Jesus in becoming a Christian, no longer a sinner, but now a child of God. Put away, he says in verse 25, lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And the lying there may be that which is proactive in nature, where there is a bold-faced lie that is told, or they are living the life of a lie, being a Christian, at least in name only, but not truly in Christ Jesus. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not give place to Satan, he says, to the devil. If you have stolen, steal no more. Rather, labor, working with your own hands. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption, that is, the teachings that you receive from the Lord. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice or anger, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the way you have learned Christ. And Paul makes that point not only to those of Ephesus, but also to those of us today. I want us to consider how it is that we learn Christ. Thinking about it from this standpoint, that thought consider. And that thought consider is a prominent command, not a suggestion, but a prominent command in Scripture that Christians are to engage themselves in. And what we have several different words that are used for the word consider. The first one being, as we have listed for us here, which we use from Matthew 6 and verse 28, where Jesus says, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." And there, that is to examine carefully, to consider well, to learn thoroughly. And what Jesus is teaching there, you'll be cared for. If you care for the things of God, God is going to care for you. He doesn't promise riches, but He promises that we're going to be cared for. And then the word, another word that is used in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7, which is rendered consider. Consider the things I say that, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. It's noeo in the Greek, to perceive with the mind, to understand, to have an understanding, to think upon, heed, ponder, consider. It is the opposite of ignorance. He says, be in understanding there. That the Lord may give you understanding in all things. Be the one that searches for understanding. And then in Hebrews 10 verse 24, about our relationship with one another as children of God. Let us consider one another for the stirring up of our love and of good works. Kataneo in the Greek. To perceive, remark, observe, understand, to consider attentively. He's not talking about just knowing one another's name there, but really knowing one another intimately. And that's the way that we are to be as Christians. Hebrews 12 and verse 3, concerning Christ Jesus, consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself when He came to this earth, lest you be weary and discouraged in your souls, and there to think over, consider, and ponder. Consider is what I want us to do this morning in every aspect that is presented in these different renderings of the word. Consider how it is that we have learned Christ. I call on each of us to do that this morning. And I want to ask, as we look through these things that I've prepared, is our life as a Christian the same as it was at its strongest? And think back for a moment. I know that we are to ever be growing and increasing in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 58, that his admonition is given by Paul to the Corinthians, also given to us by implication. But I also know that sometimes there is something that takes place in Christians' lives that may cause them to revert from a previous strength where they have been. Thus, the admonition that is given by Paul to those of Galatia. When we look in Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I have made this statement before, and I'll make it again. I believe that if a gunman came in today, and wherever I first made this several years ago, who would have ever thought that? And here it is. But if a gunman came in today and he walked up to each and every one of us and he pulled out his gun and we were helpless and he held the gun to our head and said, deny Jesus. I have the utmost confidence in everyone here that they would say, pull the trigger. Do that. And I believe that in a sense that is somewhat more of an easy conviction and easy because of point in time consideration of living the Christian life with the dire stress that is put before us. And many times dire stress in the lives of Christians brings out their strength. The problem and the reason that Paul makes his statement there in Galatians 6 chapter, be not weary in well-doing, is the day in to day out living the Christian life. And that is what he is exhorting us to do. It is that continuing keeping on in living for Christ Jesus, in living the life of a Christian, that he urges us to do and gives us that admonition. Do not become weary in your well-doing, in your Christian life. And so wherever I want us to consider these points from the standpoint of at our strongest, are we where we are today, at least in our strongest? Or have we reverted? Has something changed in our life? Have we changed? Have we gone backward rather than forward? And are there indicators of that as we look in our life? Consider this with me. That is, making that comparison from our strength to what we are now. Consider if any differences exist that are evident to you and to others now from before in your conduct and beliefs. You know, I think sometimes we may have this thought and idea, well, Nobody's paying attention to what we're doing. I can just pretty well do whatever it is that I want and no one's watching. And that's really not the case. Matter of fact, it goes against the admonition that we read in the thought of considering when we look back in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 24. Consider one another. Know intimately one another. And as Christians, that is what we should do. There should be care and concern and love and comfort that comes from us for each of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And if we're doing the job, and if we're the type of Christians that we are to be, we're going to recognize if there is a problem by some of our brothers and sisters in the congregation. And so I want us to consider making this comparison. If we will own up, if there is something that is different in our life now, prior to our strongest point, and not only that, but it's evident to others also. Before, let me ask you this question. Before, were you one that would never miss the assemblies on Sunday and Wednesday? This includes classes, for just any reason. There would have to be a good reason. There would have to be some sort of sickness, some sort of mechanical problem, something, job, something that would call you away from assembling with the saints. You recognized the edification that come in being with the saints, not only on the Sunday morning assembly, and not coming just for partaking of the Lord's Supper, and I'll tell you, such a disservice is done with the Lord's Supper by many members because they consider it to be the crown jewel of all worship. Christ's death is a crown jewel of all sacrifice. Christ's resurrection was a crown jewel of all victory in that it ratified all truth when he came forth from the grave. But worship to God is not limited to one act such as the Lord's Supper. And I'll tell you, and I have seen it, and I'm sure that you have seen it too, there have been those that have come in to congregations before where they have a trip planned. They'll come in, and thankfully the congregation offers the Lord's Supper at the beginning of the worship service because they can take it and then leave. And they have checked the box and said, I've done the Lord's duty. It reminds me so much of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, wherever Saul, King Saul, says to Samuel when he sees him, after he did not do what the Lord commanded him to do concerning the Amalekites, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You checked a box that doesn't exist. That's what you've done. I'm talking about the way that you were, and I will tell you that everybody that I know of in this congregation have been to this, at least to this point in their life in Christ Jesus, where they would not miss the Sunday assembly, they would be here for classes, they would not miss Wednesday for classes, they would not miss the meetings when we had meetings, they wouldn't do that. They would be here because they recognized, first of all, their responsibility, and second of all, the edification they received from being with the brethren and the study of God's Word. And think back to it, to the attitudes that are expressed in Scripture concerning this. When we look in the 122nd Psalm in verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And everyone here at some point in their Christian life has had that attitude. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It wasn't a bother. It wasn't something to be avoided. It was something that was looked forward to, for the edification of themselves and also for others, and being in a harmonious fellowship relation with the other children of God in this congregation. And then wherever I look in the 63rd Psalm, verses 1 through 4, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water, recognizing that except in and among the children of God, there is a place without life, and a place without hope, and a place without nourishment in this world. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. I will give honor and praise to you. I will be there to worship in your sanctuary. And I know that's not place dependent, but is speaking of an attitude, a principle, which brings us together as children of God. I have seen that in each and every person that is here that is a Christian, in their life. I've seen that. But what about now? Is it still the attitude of Psalm 84, chapter verse 10 through 12? Is it still the attitude for a day in your courts is better than 1,000? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in You. Is that the way that you still are? Or is now different? Do you look for ways to miss or at least excuse yourself from assembling with the saints? Will you use any reason, even though the most minute, to not be here? Not only for the assembly, not just for partaking of the Lord's Supper, but also for the classes, and also for being here on Wednesday to come together to worship your God. Will you look for a way to not be here? Is there a change? Well, look in Psalm 55, verse 14, and I understand that here David is talking about primarily those that were his friends that have forsaken him, but yet there is an application in connection with spiritual fellowship that is, I think, within the context of what we are talking about. And he says there in Psalm 55, verse 14, we used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng. We were arm in arm, hand in hand, heart to heart, mind to mind. And I'll tell you that everybody here in this congregation, members of this congregation, has been at that point where there was that mind to mind, heart to heart, thought to thought aspect of being one in Christ Jesus. Or have you come to the point, like Jesus gives in the parable in Luke the 14th chapter, verse 18 through 20, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The excuse was why they should not follow the Lord. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray, have me excused. What foolishness. And we know, preachers have done this for years. What sense, what reason would there be in buying a piece of land without, first of all, looking it over? There's no sense in that. And the second is likened unto it. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Makes no sense at all to put down your money before you have proven that to be what you really are paying for. And then it gets into personal relationship, which quite often is the majority of the time the motivating factor of those that act differently now than they did before in their Christian life. Another said, verse 20, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Without remembering the words of the Lord, except you love father, mother, son, daughter, wife, husband more than me, you are not worthy of me. And such a disservice is done, especially for those that are married that do not have believing spouses. Because what you do in not being here, in not worshiping and serving your God, is that you are sending a very clear message to your loved one. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about serving God. It doesn't matter about being in a relationship with Him. It doesn't matter about being edified by His Word. It doesn't matter about any of those things. And that's the message that you're sending. And here's the final message you send in that. It doesn't matter about your soul, loved one, because I don't care. That's the message that is being sent. I want you to make another comparison. See if this exists in your life. See if it's evident to you and it's also evident to others. Before, you had an intense desire to learn God's Word, studying not only in class, but listening and taking notes during the sermon and studying on your own. And I have seen that in this congregation. Going around during our classes, calling upon people, and there would be reading and that there would be commentary on the question that was asked in the class, and everyone did that, and I've seen everybody involved in that in this congregation. And I've seen those that have picked up pencil and paper follow some young man right here in doing that, because he makes excellent notes of the sermons every time a preacher stands before him. And the reason being is he wants to know more. What an example is being set. And then there is the studying on their own, understanding, because I know that is taking place because people have come back. And you can tell that they have studied on their own. I've had questions. I was looking at such and such passage, and I understood it to say this. Do you agree with the way that I'm understanding? And I've seen that. I've seen that take place. I've seen that absolute desire to really know God's Word and apply, each and every one of you, apply yourselves in that understanding. And not only that, but also in the application in your life. I've seen that in each and every one here. I've seen this attitude toward God's Word that is presented in the 19th Psalm, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. Is that your attitude now? And I've seen this attitude in every Christian here this morning. That the word of the Lord was so precious because they understood the direction. They understood the instruction. They understood the correction. They understood the way unto righteousness. All that Paul speaks of when we look in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. And they recognized those things and how it benefited them in their spiritual life. And not them only, but by making application in their life, they were teaching others also by the example that they were setting forth. And I've seen that by every member in this congregation. I've seen this thought also from the 119th Psalm, verse 1 through 5. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart, not half-heartedly, but with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep the precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Lord, show me the way. Is the attitude that is being expressed by the psalmist here that I have seen in every person in this congregation before. At some point in their Christian walk. I've seen that. But let me ask you about now. Seldom, if ever, do you pick up a Bible away from this building. Have no interest in the articles in the bulletin. Little disclaimer here, not all are written by me. So it's not about that. If invited to a study, other things always take precedence. And then I see this also, daydreaming and napping is a usual exercise during the sermon. There's been a complete turnaround of attitude concerning God's Word. And I've seen that. I've seen that. I know that that can happen. Thus the admonition by Paul, be not weary in well-doing. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verse 30 and 31, wherever Ezekiel is given instruction by God to address Israel. The Lord said, mortal man, your people are talking about you when they meet you in the city walls or in the doorways of their houses. They say to one another, let's go and hear what the word has come from the Lord now. So my people crowd in to hear what you have to say, but they don't do what you tell them to do. Loving words are on their lips, but they continue their greedy ways. Could that be you now? You come, you listen, but you're not paying attention to what God's Word said. And I will tell you what, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. It's about that which comes from God. And there in Jeremiah, the 44th chapter, and verse 16, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. Is that your attitude now? a complete denial, not based upon morally what God says, because that's absolute truth, but rather based upon something that we want to do or a way that we want to act or a lack of owning up to a wrong that we've committed. Is that you now? One more. Before, you would never allow placing yourself in a compromising situation. You cared for the Lord's sake how you were perceived. It may be that you were at a doctor's office or somewhere where there was an elevator and you were by yourself. And you started to walk into the elevator and a lady comes in and starts to walk in also. But you step back. You say, why don't you go ahead and take the elevator? I'll take another one in just a moment. You're not going to place yourself in a compromising situation. And I believe that there are Christians here that would never do that. At least some point in their life, in their Christian life, they would not place themselves in any sort of compromising situation. And I ask, is that still the same? Have you placed yourself in times past in a compromising situation? Here's the attitude. Paul says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from every form or appearance of evil. Let me just be very honest, and I will probably get some comments on this. I'm so sick and tired of people watering down the King James Version on this verse. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Well, what evil is he talking about? Every form of evil. Don't water that down. I know that somebody could say, well, you know, it's what everybody considers. There may be those out here that might consider certain things to be evil, so we can't do those things. No. Abstain from every appearance of every form of evil, that which we know is evil, that which is recognized by the world as evil. It doesn't matter if the action takes place, if the appearance of it is there, we have sinned against our God.
Amen.
And we need to realize that. There have been those that have moved in with individuals that they're not married to. I'm talking about male and female. They moved in together. And I know that in times past, if they had seen somebody else do that, they would have said, that's sinful. That's not right. And it doesn't matter if the person would assure us, and I'm sure that if you have ever been in that situation, I'm sure that nothing ever took place. But that's beside the point. Because at some point in time in your Christian life, you had that attitude. I'm not going to place myself for the account of Christ Jesus in a compromising situation. It's not about me. It's about giving honor unto my God and glorifying Him. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your own hands as we have instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. And especially that part there where you walk properly before outsiders. It's not about us, it's about Christ Jesus and honoring Him. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Are the actions that you've engaged in giving glory to God? And that's the question. I have seen it in every individual in this congregation before where they would have never thought about placing themselves in any sort of compromising situation at all. They would abstain from that because glorifying God is the most important. But what about now? Self-assurance of what is right by your own standard. The if you don't like it, get over it attitude prevails. Is that where you are now? I think back to this. Micah, the second chapter in verse 6. Don't preach. They preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. The problem is the preacher. The problem is that he points things out that I might be engaging in or have engaged in. The problem is the problem is God's word and disobedience to it. We look in Isaiah 5, 20 and 21, and it really gets down to the bottom line of this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Well, I did it to help somebody. But did you do it, not do it, to glorify your God? Those who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Well, that command about not moving in with somebody else is for everybody else but me. No, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And we can't sweep that under the rug. Here's the application to this lesson. If the now is different than the before in your life, take heed. Consider this. Take heed. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Take heed. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Do not base your reasoning and your walk in Christ Jesus upon your own thought and practices, but rather what God has to say. Make sure your life is hid in Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20, this is what Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. What he means there is that I have given myself sacrificially over to the Lord. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's not about me anymore. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the way that I'm going to walk in this life. Let me ask you this morning. First of all, if you're not a child of God, will you consider what it is that Jesus did for you when he went to that cross, when he died? Will you consider that in your life? And will that have meaning in your life that someone that you never met, someone that left the glories of heaven, that came down to offer himself as a blood sacrifice for us, not that we are just forgiven, but also that our sins are forgotten. And we're no longer sinners, but now we are saints before the Lord. Will you recognize that? Will you consider that? And I will tell you, if you will look at the scriptures, that is the way that you've learned Christ. And this day you'll be baptized in remission of your sins. And then I ask those that are members here, each and every one of us, is our before in strength the same as it is now? Or have we changed? And do we have the fortitude and the love for God and the love for brethren and the love for those in relationships with us to recognize the danger that is there? And will we ask forgiveness for our sins with the absolute confidence that Jesus Christ will forgive us? Will you come this day confessing your faults? Jesus says through John, if you do that, you'll be cleansed of your sins. Consider these things. Are you showing forth in your life the way that you learned Christ? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.